And so as I think about sort of the next evolution of local marketing, I think more of those local collaborations and partnerships are going to be critical. Doing things like
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Local Marketing Lab, where you get real-world insights from industry pros to help you drive local revenue and local growth. This podcast is brought to you by Evocalize, digital marketing tools powered by local data that automatically work where and when your locations need it most. Learn more at evocalize.com. What's up, and welcome to the Local Marketing Lab. Joining us in the lab today is a guest with over 20 years of experience in the restaurant marketing space, working with brands like Church's Chicken, Johnny Rockets, Bojangles, and many, many more. He loves live events. He's an ordained minister and a food aficionado, SVP of marketing at Emmy Squared Pizza, Sergio Perez. Thanks for joining us in the lab, my friend.
Good morning. It's always good to see you. And more importantly, it's always good to talk pizza and marketing. And so excited to be here today.
Pizza and marketing, very good topics. I happen to be fortunate enough to join you last night for a happy hour down at Emmy Squared, which is fantastic. What areas are you located in?
Yeah, so right now we operate 28 restaurants everywhere from New York to Nashville, Atlanta, Coral Gables down in Miami. We recently opened up in Vegas, Louisville, Charlotte, Athens, Georgia. And so we're in a lot of cool hip places, but originally started in Brooklyn in 2016. And so we've slowly but surely started to spread some of our love across the country and have plans to expand even further. So we've got some news coming up in the next couple of weeks around openings that will be happening across, again, some popular neighborhoods around the country.
Very cool. And what is Emily known for?
We're known for our Detroit style pizza, our award-winning burgers and our elevated cocktails. Detroit style pizza is a little bit different, right? It's a square-shaped pizza that is baked on a blue pan, and we take a lot of pride in doing pizza the right way. We use the best ingredients you can have, from King Arthur's flour to Esso pepperoni, which is some of the best pepperoni you can find, in the country. And so we do the things that are a little bit hard for a lot of other folks to pull off of, but again, I think we focus on an elevated culinary experience using the best ingredients and the best techniques. So every time you take a bite out of, whether it's one of our burgers, whether it's one of our signature pizzas or salad, you're getting a bold flavor experience. And so, that's a little bit for what we are known for. And, something about that, you've had a chance to try some of our food.
I did. I've had it a couple of times. The bold flavors, like, you are not kidding. I never thought I would have taken a bite of a Brussels sprout salad? It was fantastic. Yeah. I'm like, that's how you know you're no longer a teenager, or maybe even in your 20s, when the Brussels sprouts taste amazing. But that salad was incredible. Yeah. Very cool. Well, I guess let's jump in and you've had tons of experience working for really, really, really well-known brands. So I think that your insights will be super helpful for our listeners today. If you could start a little bit, maybe tell just a little bit about your journey and then kind of how you ended up over there at Emily.
Yeah, I'll keep the story short because it's a little bit long and there's a lot of moving parts, but I'll take you back to how I grew up. So I grew up in the US-Mexico border in a town called Laredo, Texas. And I was fortunate enough to grow up in a family that owned restaurants and operated restaurants. And so from an early age, I remember sitting in a kitchen with my grandmother or working at the family restaurant. And so that initially gave me some interesting perspective around just how operations work and sort of how restaurants work and how, the mechanics of all the pieces that come together. And as I think about my career now, it really made me appreciate franchisees, for example, that are quite relevant to the local marketing conversation here. And so I never really thought I was going to end up in this side of the business, but fast forward college, getting through that, I got an opportunity to intern at Church's Chicken from a marketing perspective. And it was a very transformational experience in terms of recognizing what goes into making a restaurant experience happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like oftentimes you come into a restaurant, you order your food, you have good service, you leave, and that's about what you think about from a consumer perspective. But somebody thought about the plating and the lighting and the music, and there's a method to the madness, in you, if you will, about creating a moment and an environment that allows you to have an experience, right? And so that was a big aha moment for me to recognize that, look, it's not just food and a couple plates or whatever. There's a real science behind the work that we do. And so from there, I ended up getting a full-time local marketing coordinator position there at Church's. And if there's any advice I would give any person who's wanting to start in the industry or is coming right out of college to think about what a career in the restaurant space will look like, I would always start in the field, just because it gives you a wide perspective to really running your own like marketing department at a local level, right? Like you have to wear the PR hat, you've got to wear the digital hat, you have to activate, you have to be brand, you have to wear all those different hats. And so it gives you really vast perspective as to all the areas from a marketing standpoint, but most importantly, it gets you plugged into where the customers are, and it gets you plugged into how restaurants operate. Oftentimes you are creating a program in your office, or you are, you know, thinking about a big activation, but it's not real until it happens at the restaurant level. And you have to recognize that execution and making it easy for operators and for crew members to execute is critical, because if you don't have execution, if they don't believe in the program, very hard for you to get any momentum with any activation from that standpoint. And so understanding how restaurants work is critical. And then the final piece, it also gives you a bit of an acumen for the economics of the business, right? Because it's not just looking at a comp sales number and a percentage change, but you're actually living and breathing as to how those economics work and how your work on a local level makes an impact there. And so really good school to then hone in as to what you want to do from a marketing perspective. And so anyway, after my time there, I took a digital role at Johnny Rockets. And so, you know, one of the most fun brands I had an opportunity to work with, it was, you know, burgers, shakes and fries and dancing. And, you know, we, you know, had an incredible team there. And there, you know, it was really the early start of, you know, digital. This was 2015. And I remember having a conversation with an online ordering provider about online ordering in 2015. And at that time, it felt like a bit of a foreign concept for, you know, a fast casual brand. I remember we were one of the first brands to get on delivery. So like we were, before you had integrations, you had to build menus manually on a platform by restaurant. There wasn't like take one menu. And so when you had, you know, 200 domestic locations, menu changes were a whole lot of fun in terms of proofing and pricing and photography and you name it. We were one of the first brands to actually be on Amazon restaurants, which was going to revolutionize the world. And here we are today. But anyway, spent some time at Johnny Rockets. And then I left there to a concept called, or it was Garden Fresh Restaurants, which operated as Sweet Tomatoes and Soup Plantation. And it was a soup and salad concept, you know, really focused on health. And so there, a lot of my work was really, again, digital transformation, online ordering, engagement content. From there, I took a move back to the South in Atlanta. And so I came back to Ascend Hospitality Management with Hutto Haas & Perkins. There, it was a very similar exercise around digital transformation, building an ecosystem, launching an app, launching a loyalty program, digital media. And so, and so anyway, from there, I joined Bojangles in December of 2020. Yeah, December of 2020, I joined the brand to lead probably the most aggressive and fast-tracked digital transformation the brand had ever seen. And so, you know, we built everything from, you know, custom apps and websites to engagement programs to, you know, evergreen, you know, delivery promotions. But all that to say that a big headline of my entire career has been really focused, I think, around two things, leading digital transformations for brands and how we redefine the way people engage and transact with us. And then the second piece is really understanding customers from really the ground up and like really getting a sense of like what the neighborhoods and the trade areas are and how you leverage that to then be able to put programs in place that are, you know, going to help move the needle from a business standpoint.
That's incredible. I appreciate you taking us through that because as a guest, most of the guests that I have in the show don't come up in the digital space. So your insights are going to be relatively unique and I think not impactful and valuable. If you could talk through like on the digital side of things, like what do you think is the most impactful marketing thing to go after? What really moves the needle most from a digital perspective?
Yeah, I would say relevance and context is critical. Oftentimes the digital programs that a lot of the mid-sized to enterprise brands build are sort of more national program focused and forget the need for local relevance and context. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you an example from a Bojangles perspective, you know, has partnerships with about 17 or 18 different universities. So during college, you know, there's a lot of programming with these schools. And so if you open an app, for example, being able to show local content that's relevant to that particular school, for example, you know, being able to have a local deal or promotion that's specific to that restaurant or that neighborhood. And so for me, I think one of the things that that is missing from a lot of digital programs is that local context and relevance of what is happening around the restaurant to put programming in front of customers that will ultimately, you know, shorten your time from a conversion perspective, which will be, you know, to sales. And so recognizing what deals at a local level makes sense, recognizing what kind of content is relevant for customers at a local level makes sense. Because, you know, there's not personalization should be more than just what your location you go to and what your name is, right? You should really think about menu and context to be able to, again, put programming in front of in front of consumers. And, you know, local partnerships, there might be a local event, like there might be a local charity component to what you're doing. And a lot of that, a lot of those elements tend to be difficult to execute from like a national infrastructure perspective. And so, you know, my headline and recommendation would be looking at ways in which you can find context and relevance to be able to put programming in front of consumers for maximizing conversion.
But it's very interesting that you bring that up. Bojangles has, what, do they have like 1,000 locations?
A little bit over 800. They're getting close. They're getting close.
How do you scale? Like, how do you scale the localization of all the content? Because if you have all these different schools, and I'm sure you guys are putting out like university-based content, like stuff around like game wins and stuff like that, how do you scale that?
Yeah, great technology partners is how I would firm it up. It's really having the right tech stack that can support you know, dynamic content is how I would frame it up from a top line perspective. But it also means having really good relationships at the franchise and local level to make sure that you are receiving and curating that content to be able to bring it to the top from a data perspective. But it really is, you know, great infrastructure from a tech perspective, and then having a good mechanism in which you can receive that content to then be able to push out, you know, to whatever channel you need to push that out to.
Yeah. I mean, tech's really the only way that you can scale stuff like that. I mean, you'd have to have somebody at each location potentially doing all these things. And it's just not feasible. Although if you are an operator at a single location, that's not to say you shouldn't try and you shouldn't start doing something, right? You can then test to see what works and then move forward from there and then find a tech partner to help the entire organization roll out the wins that you've found. What are some things that you think that you could talk to that you've tried that maybe didn't work?
Oof. That's always a tough question. I would say partnerships are always tough. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes you sponsor you know, a local event. Sometimes you sponsor a local team. And generally those deals tend to be around like signage, for example, right? Like sponsor the Little League and we'll put your logo on the uniform, or we'll put your logo in a stadium. And while those help from like a visibility perspective, when you're a big enterprise brand that has brand recognition, those elements don't mean as much, right? And so for me, I think local partnerships and sponsorships are an area of opportunity for sure. And how we should think about those moving forward is, particularly from a digital perspective, is how do you, you know, put together maybe a digital exclusive, right? Where if you're sponsoring a local team or an event, you know, you can say, hey, get the, you know, Carolina Panthers combo, and here's the code that you can redeem, right? And so finding ways in which you can leverage that partnership to drive new consumers primarily is sort of where the partnership should start, versus let's talk about logo placement and you know those kinds of things.
Yeah, the other thing to consider too is how do you really make the most out of the local engagement? Because a lot of times you will see that with a Little League or any type of sports team locally, folks will just buy the sponsorship and put their logo up. But really, to maximize it, some ideas of what you could do is like get there, not only give samples of your food and whatnot, but tell the stories of what's happening there at the location, at the event, right? Highlight people within your community. And then you can then take that content and share it out on your social channels. So now you're getting, you know, eyeballs and awareness, but then the people that you're highlighting are going to feel special. They're going to feel VIP. They're going to want to show their friends, and that creates a level of local virality that you aren't going to get just from getting your logo on the back wall at a baseball game.
For sure. And I think one of the things we are quite proud of here at Emmy Squared is, from our inception, being the neighborhood spot has been what the brand has been about. And what I mean by that is, you know, being able to really understand the neighborhood that you serve and being able to integrate yourself in a meaningful way as a community partner and a contributor to the community. So I'll give you a couple examples that I think are interesting and that have given, you know, Emmy this local flair. Is, look, a lot of our restaurants are, for example, second generation spaces and are designed specifically to feel like they're a part of the community. And so whether it's local art or design, we need to make sure that we feel as an integrated part of that versus this, you know, separate part of the community or from, you know, the neighborhood standpoint. Two, we take a look at local wine and beer as an opportunity to, again, work with, you know, local partners and make that community connection and supporting other local small businesses that, you know, help from like just an overall pride in your community perspective that I think are helpful. Three, it's also thinking about local flavor and sort of how do you localize the, you know, Emmy experience at a local level. So for example, you know, we've done like a Nashville hot pizza in the past or a kimchi pizza or a birria pizza to, you know, think about the relevance of the neighborhoods in which we're in. And so as I think about sort of the next evolution of local marketing, I think more of those local collaborations and partnerships are going to be critical. You know, doing things like, you know, donating $1 of every pizza to a local charity, like those things matter. And, you know, local marketing isn't just about, okay, what is the transaction at a local level, but it's really around investing in the community that you are a part of and being an active participant in that. And so, whether it's a local festival, whether it's, you know, the neighborhood association is doing XYZ, you need to be a part of that and be connected to that, but also make sure that your space and your restaurant serves as a hub for community to happen, right? And so if there needs to be a meeting space, if there needs to be an opportunity for people to come together, you know, our restaurant should be an important, you know, part of that.
Yeah, for sure. You did a really good job last night of bringing folks from the community together. So as I mentioned earlier, Sergio hosted a happy hour at one of the Emmy locations, which is a gorgeous location, by the way. I've been to two of them now just in Charlotte. They're similar feel, but they're totally different in feel. Like, you can tell they're part of the same brand, but they're very unique in their personality in each of the neighborhoods that they're in, which, like, what you're talking to. But one of the things that came up with one of the folks that I was just kind of networking with, and I said, you know, hey, what should we drop Sergio into AI to make an image of him? And immediately the word sheriff came up. Why was making you a sheriff so important to this individual?
I think, look, as you can see in the background, I'm quite proud of my Texas roots. And, you know, some would say that, you know, the minute you think about a sheriff, you think about Texas. And so I think it's the spirit of Texas that was part of that conversation.
I did just that, and I dropped you in as a sheriff, Sheriff Sergio. However,
look at that.
Saying that now, I was like, man, I just had a thought. I should have put you in there with Chuck Norris. That would have been a good move. Texas
look
Ranger.
At that. I guess running for office at some point in the future is in the cards for me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You'll know how to run a good campaign. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
You guys are growing so fast. So what is it that you've been there for a few months? What is it that you've really focused on to help drive growth in such a short time?
Yeah. So I think it goes back to, I think, that relevance portion of it. You know, Emmy has a rich history of high quality ingredients and good culinary experiences and, you know, having this local flair. And for us, it's really about telling that story more often at a local level, making sure that people recognize that, you know, we serve one of the best burgers in the world. Not just we're saying that, but we have a number of awards from, you know, local to national publications talking about or ranking us as one of the best burgers in the country. We, in fact, our restaurants in New York, we have people from travel from overseas just to have a bite of that burger. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for us and for me, the focus has been, how do we double down on our food story? How do we double down on the equities of the brand so people recognize that it's not just good food, but there's, you know, a love and care to our, you know, Detroit style and Brooklyn soul that we bring to, you know, every neighborhood that we're a part of. And so everything from like local paid media to local PR to, you know, enabling our delivery partnerships to better creative from a storytelling standpoint. You know, we are building, instead of building a big national marketing plan, we're building individual restaurant plans that are thought about in terms of what does the trade area look like? You know, who are the customers? What is, you know, what are the drivers here? What are the kind of partnerships we should be thinking about? And so it's really building this from a restaurant to restaurant standpoint versus starting at the top and then localizing it. And so I think for me, this has been quite an interesting exercise because typically you start from the top and then, you know, trickle down. In this case, we're building from the bottom and trickling up to make sure that, again, we focus on this hyper-local, you know, portion of the business.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a totally different approach because you came from such a massive org to starting. I mean, you're able to now build those individual plans because you have the bandwidth because the volume isn't quite there yet. It will be there, I know, because you're leading the marketing team. So I'm definitely watching it. One last question for you. If you could give somebody a shout out who you think is doing their local marketing really, really well, who would it be?
I'll be biased to my previous group, but you know, I think the folks at Bow do an incredible job at a local level. If you're in the Carolinas, you know, primarily you see that the brand means something to people, and there's a real good cultural tie to, you know, what Bojangles is. One of the most interesting things about the brand is, you know, particularly during this holiday period, you know, people post on social and they say, you know, I'm finally home. I had my first Cajun filet biscuit. And so there's, again, that local, great local aspect of it, but also lots of local charity work to support communities recently, you know, with the hurricanes and the floods that happened in Western North Carolina, you know, did an excellent job of raising money to help support that community. And so anyway, they've got a great local game, and there's a reason why they've been quite successful.
Very good example. Very good example. Yeah. It's also being in the area. I know that there's many locations. There's like 125-ish locations just in Charlotte area.
That's about right. Yeah.
That
that's
is,
about
right. That is insane. That's like more than Starbucks. Like,
Hey, but soon we'll have, hopefully as many Emmys, maybe not in Charlotte, but you know, across the country.
I will say I live in a small town north of Charlotte. We have two Bojangles and just got our first Starbucks. So that's saying something. That's saying something. So awesome. Well, let's wrap things up. But before we do, how should folks follow you? How should they follow Emmy Squared?
Yeah. So if they want to get in touch with me, you can find me on LinkedIn at Sergio Perez. But more importantly, follow Emmy Squared on Instagram at Emmy Squared Pizza. You know, it, also, if whether you're in one of our cities or you're not, we also ship nationwide through Goldbelly. Oh. And so if you go to goldbelly.com/Emmy Squared Pizza, you know, you'll be able to get, you know, some of the best pizza and burgers you can have shipped to you just in time for the holidays.
Very good. I would definitely give it a shot if you haven't. It's fantastic. I could see why it's award-winning. So shout out to Landon that role over there. Well, cool. This is a lot of fun, Sergio. I just want to thank you. Thanks to our listeners, as well as thank you to you for joining us in the lab and giving us your time and insights today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah. Happy holidays as well. As always, thanks for joining us in the Local Marketing Lab. This podcast is brought to you by Evocalize. To learn how Evocalize can help you grow your business, visit evocalize.com. If you learned something new from today's episode, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook at Evocalize, that's E-V-O-C-A-L-I-Z-E, and on X at Evocalize Inc. And remember, keep innovating and trying new things. You never know what's going to connect with your audience until you try. And until next time, thanks for listening.